The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday, and somehow another week went by, and it was hell. It was a hell of a week. It started on Sunday, and I really can't believe it's Friday. Monumental events have happened, transpired, occurred. We have been subjected to some things that really seem like science fiction with regards to the political machinations going on in this country. It started last Sunday, of course, with the 9/11 memorial. But before we go into that, I want to just do a little bit on that. Let us bring on board Admiral Harry Cooper. Admiral, step ashore, or step on board, or don't fall in between the boat and the dock. What is it? I don't remember.
A lot of people die if they fall between the boat and the dock, the ship and the dock, because you just kind of get crunched. And it's kind of like being in a gigantic nutcracker.
Yeah, it's called the pancake slip. Yeah, yeah. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm in good shape. And you too?
I'm still here.
Excellent, excellent.
No complaints. Well, I could complain, but it does no good. Nobody gives a
right.
damn.
Nobody cares.
That's right. Now, let me go back to last Sunday just for a minute. For all of you listening around the world, the 9/11 attacks on this country clearly were an inside United States government job with the absolute aiding and abetting of the Zionist state of Israel. We know this. The Saudis were basically the misdirection in this. It was clear. At any rate, the 15th year, 15 years already, anniversary of it, if you can use the word anniversary, I use it advisedly, was last Sunday. You would imagine, wouldn't you, that all the luminaries in government and politics who were around then and maybe who have shown up on the scene on the big board since then would show up. Nobody was there. Bill Clinton wasn't there. Obama didn't bother to show up. I could go down a long, long, long list. George W. Bush didn't show up. George Herbert Walker Bush didn't show up. Nobody showed up. The only person with any kind of a name who showed up was Hillary Clinton. You all know what happened. I won't go through that. I do believe at this point it is probable that Hillary Clinton is dead, deceased, or is just about to go there. I think she made it to Chelsea's apartment, condominium, the back of the fourth floor of which we believe is and has been Hillary's secret health clinic, where she is now, if she's still alive. I had, if you look in headlines, a report, an anonymous report, claiming to give a rundown on her condition. If it was a fraud, it was certainly pretty damn close to probably what one would expect. Now, that all said, we have the issue of body doubles. For those of you who are very quick to dismiss the idea, don't. In World War II, how many body doubles, Harry, did Churchill have, as far as we know, just in round numbers?
Well, Churchill, Roosevelt, Stalin, Hitler, they all had some. I don't know the exact number.
He had about six.
They actually wrote a book about Hitler's doubles, so they had quite a handful.
Churchill had five to six that could pass for him.
Yeah.
Several of them did radio interviews and programs, and they passed with his voice. Nobody was the wiser. Just
right.
Understand that.
There's also there's a very famous time when people could see Roosevelt in the Rose Garden, when in reality he was meeting with Stalin and Churchill in Yalta.
Right.
So they all had body doubles, and I've been told that some of the movie stars do too. I don't know, but the political figures definitely do.
Hillary Clinton was paying Teresa Barnwell, I say was because she may be dead now, $10,000 a month because she looked very much like Hillary and could be used for comedy and special appearance events and fun stuff. Barnwell doesn't look that much like Hillary. She's close. But the woman who came out of Chelsea's apartment building, condominium building, 90 minutes or so after the horrific full-body seizure and complete collapse at curbside at the 9/11 memorial service, was not Hillary Clinton. That woman came out the front door. She was unescorted by Secret Service. She came out looking like Mary Poppins. She pranced around the sidewalk. Traffic was blocked, so the press, which was all held across the street and was not allowed to get close to her. What's the street width there? 50 feet? All right, at least 50 feet away. They were on the other side. She came out, waved to the press, turned to her right, and motioned with her hand for someone to come over. Well, who came over but a little girl who just happened to be there with her mother for a photo op. So the little girl comes over, and Hillary Clinton, allegedly with pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia, which I don't care what they say, it's communicable. Anyway, she gave the little girl pneumonia several times over, took her picture, and then sent the little girl back to her mother to infect her mother, and turned and walked back to the curb facing the press. "How are you, Secretary Clinton? How do you feel?" This is one of those brilliant questions the media always has. How do you feel?
Right.
She said, "I feel just great, and it's a great day in New York." Something to those words. Turned and walked off stage right to the van that was there with one Secret Service agent present. Now, normally, those men are charged with surrounding somebody under the best of circumstances. These are the worst of circumstances. This woman had just collapsed, been drugged into the van like a slab of beef, dropping a shoe in the street.
That's what they said on TV, too, like a side of beef.
That's right. I think she effectively died right then and there. I can't prove it. I'm just speculating. But it's all predicated on visible evidence, what we can discern from listening to many doctors, including a professor of medicine at a university medical school. This woman was essentially dying. So what more irony than to die on 9/11? You know who else died on 9/11? Ambassador Christopher Stevens, that she was responsible for the death of.
Oh, yeah.
How ironic is that? 2012 and 2016. Okay.
Chris Stevens and three other Americans.
Three others, yeah. So there you go. Now,
also, if I can be rude and interrupt, because the FBI, or, I'm sorry, the Secret Service knows where all the stage one trauma centers are in whatever area they happen to be, and their number one directive in a case like this is to go directly to the closest level one trauma center.
You know what that was? Bellevue Hospital, two-tenths of a mile.
Right.
They drove 3.5 miles to get to Chelsea's condominium. No, they went to Hillary's secret hospital. Okay?
That's what a lot of people think that, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I put up a story yesterday. I worked all day on it with Professor Jim Fetzer, that the woman on the airplane 4 days after the collapse yesterday, and for those of you who were listening last night, forgive the repetition, the woman on the plane yesterday was not Hillary Clinton. They have technology now that can develop people who look with dental work, facial work. This woman looked very close to Hillary Clinton. However, the tip of her nose was all wrong. You can go to the homepage at Rents, look at the pictures. Most of you have seen them. And how have you seen them? Because the noble alternative media is full of people who have no problems stealing other people's work and not crediting them. Hey, I don't mind if people use the work, but how about a little hat tip? No. Nope. Rush Limbaugh. I won't mention all the names. Everybody jumped on the work, and today it's all over the place. That's fine. I'm proud to have been the one with Jim to break the work here. I think it's proven without a question of a doubt that the woman on the plane who went to North Carolina yesterday, gave the speech, was not Hillary Clinton. It didn't look right. You look at it and you say, something's not right here. You look closer, look at the end of her nose. It didn't go straight out and end in a round tip like Hillary's. It went over the edge and was protruding downward. The nostrils were all wrong. It ain't her. It's simple.
Kind of like a witch's nose.
Yeah, you've seen it. It wasn't her. Okay, so I found those pictures to compare. I was the first person outside of Jim Fetzer to get the picture of her in the airplane. I put that whole page together with my webmaster, James, yesterday. It took hours and hours. It's up there for your edification now. But again, we know never again can we trust the mainstream media ever to represent reality. And I want to add a caveat to that. No, make it an addendum. I don't believe we can trust the alternative media to have any integrity or credibility much either. They're thieves. They're phonies. They're lightweights. A lot of them are working for the government, for intelligence agencies. They're compromised. There are some good people in it, but far fewer than you would think. And this theft, and again, I don't really care, but I would never take something that someone else did without giving them credit. It's just another testimonial to where we are, Harry. We're not in a good place here, not at all.
Yeah, I know. My book, Hitler in Argentina.
Oh yeah.
Was the backbone for another fellow who did one called Gray Wolf: The Escape of Adolf Hitler. A lot of his book looks like it came from mine. And then, of course, they did that idiotic Hunting Hitler TV series where.
Right.
You know, I'd never watched it. First off, I don't have time. I've been in my office since 3 this morning, and it's now 20 after 10. So I don't have the time. Plus, I figured being on the History Channel, it was going to be a comedy anyhow. And incidentally, that's not the History Channel anymore. It's called History because it was bought out, I believe, by A&E.
Mm-hmm.
And A&E owns several of the channels. And A&E is either owned by or has a partnership or some kind of arrangement with Disney. So they're mega monster huge. And then some guy named Noam Chalef wrote a book about Hitler's escape. And Gerard Williams, the guy that wrote Grey Wolf, is complaining that Noam Chalef copied some of his work.
Yeah, this is funny.
He copied from me.
Yeah.
You know, there's no honor among thieves. You know, you get our magazine and you see our hotmails every day.
Yeah.
We credit people. Sometimes I don't give their names because they're some of my SEAG agents, SEAG meaning Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Intelligence Group.
Right.
And we don't identify them for obvious reasons, but anybody, you know, who's not one of our undercovers, we credit them. the heck? It doesn't cost anything to be honest. And you can look at the guy in the mirror
without turning away. The cheapest class commodity that humans have access to. Honesty.
Honor.
Simple. Honor, honesty.
One fellow that I had been in contact with, getting our hotmails all the time, he was the son of a U-boat commander who I had met many years ago, a fine, honorable gentleman, the skipper, and I sent out to non-members, I sent out some political stuff, and he's one of the guys that blindly believes whatever the lamestream media says, and he got so upset that I posted some things about Hillary, truthful but negative. He demanded I take him off our roster. Okay, fine, no skin off my nose, but you know, if you don't have enough sense to look at a situation from both sides, get all the information you can, make an informed decision. If you're too dumb to do that, if you just blindly take what the lamestream media gets or puts out for you, you're dumber than a box of rocks.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, well, anyway, I just wanted to put that on the table.
Yeah.
I've gotten a couple emails from people saying, how could you? What a stupid thing. Well, that's fine. They think what they want. I happen to know that the technology and the ability to create human doubles is really good now, and it goes way down the road further than most people would want to think. This has been something in the works, in my opinion, for the last couple of years, this double that they put out to give the speech yesterday. They knew Hillary was dying, and it was a matter of time. What they're trying to do now, they hoped to keep her alive and get her installed. They're rolling the dice now. They're going with the double. They're going to push her into the debates, and I'll tell you right now, her speech in North Carolina was so much better than the average Hillary speech. This woman is good. She is a real good performer.
Yeah, you're not the first one I've heard. Now, I personally don't know if this is the double we're seeing or not, but I think it's pretty obvious Hillary is not in the best of health. But as you know, I'm in contact with people in 77 countries, and I'm more and more and more are believing that Hillary is either dead or dying. One guy sent us an email and said the reason she kissed the pavement there by the van is because she was under arrest, and that's why she collapsed. Now, I have no idea.
No, right arm, because of the full body seizure, curled up behind her right hip on her back.
Oh,
people
okay.
viewed that and they said, she's handcuffed. No, she wasn't. That's where came from. The agent who came up and grabbed her under the right armpit pulled that arm right away from being behind her right hip, and it was not connected to the other arm.
I see. Okay, so, but like I say, I don't know what the truth is here, but
we study these videos.
People are theorizing
so many times, yeah.
And the way our government is working now, you can't put anything past them.
You can't. And you can't put anything past technology, and believe me, dental work, facial work, the woman already began to look like her from just getting out of the box, and they took her, and it's really a superb job, but it's not her. You look at her, she's younger, she's smoother, she's more vibrant, anyway. Yeah.
Right, yeah, she looks younger to be made up to look older, this one, but I don't believe I'd want to be put into that situation as a double for a very, very, very questionable politician, because your life can be very short-lived.
Guess what happens if the double starts to fall apart? They'll assassinate her and blame it on a Trump backer.
Yeah, you know, something like that, yeah. People die under the strangest
she knows too
circumstances.
Much.
Somebody
she can't
sent
know.
Me
an
email that says, guns don't kill. Asking questions about Hillary kills, and they list the four guys that got clipped within the last 2 months.
Yeah. Well, Hillary's greatest line, allegedly it was just attributed to her tongue-in-cheek, was, if you just stop asking me questions, I wouldn't have to lie.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I suppose that makes sense.
It's true. Okay. What we do when Admiral Cooper is with us, which is once a month, is have a great time. And forgive the political issue, but we're 50 days away from this election.
Something like that.
And, one more thing.
Yeah.
Dr. Patricia Doyle, who's on the program twice a month, lives in New York and listens to New York radio all the time, New York City radio. She says there are virtually no Trump radio ads running in New York. Now, I don't understand that unless he's holding off until October 1st to just unload. But she said there's Hillary commercials, there are Gary Johnson, the gay libertarian commercials, no Trump. So I don't know what's going on with that. That's a strange thing. Okay, now, Harry and Shark Hunters, and if you're not a member of Shark Hunters and you have any affinity or interest in history at all, you are missing the boat. And I mean the U-boat. join Shark Hunters, the monthly magazine. There's so many things that this organization that he has single-handedly put together with his lovely wife and a couple of others, his daughter, and runs it from home, is a truly worldwide treasure of history. It's history in its reality. It's not history in its revised form, written by you-know-whom. So what we have here is the opportunity for you to do that, and more than that, to go on patrols or expeditions with Harry. He takes patrols to South America, to Argentina, and Brazil sometimes, goes to Europe. There are several. You're just about to go on one.
Yeah, 1 week from right this minute, I'll be sound asleep in Munich.
Wow.
Well, actually, I'll be pretty close to waking up because it's 6 hours down the road from us. So 10 o'clock, 10:30 here. It's about 4:30 in the morning, so I'll be getting ready to wake up on Saturday.
Very good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country. We'll be in Austria a little bit, too. It's just magnificent over there, and the history, World War II, as you say, is what I focus on, and without being too arrogant, I don't think there's anybody in the world that knows this. Well, there are a couple of guys in the world that know this history better than I do. One is one of my agents, and the other is a good friend named Peter Hansen, who's well into his 90s now. On paper, he was a young lieutenant in the U-boat service, but in reality, he was pretty high up in the Abwehr. And so he runs one or two stories an issue in our magazine. And so we did, and I was lucky enough, we started early enough. I met so many of the U-boat skippers, officers, crewmen. Otto Kretschmer, the top submarine commander of the whole war, was a good friend. I had a sleeping room in his house. Eric Topp, I've been to his home I don't know how many times. Hess, the youngest commander, who saw heavy combat and got a Knight's Cross. He was my best friend in Germany. And just, I got the history from the guys who were there. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing. And we videotaped it, and those are all on our DVDs now, so your listeners can go to sharkhunters.com and go to, make sure you got plenty of time when you turn on my website, because it'll just pull you in. It's not as full or as busy as Rents' website, but it's pretty heavy stuff.
It's great. And when you go there, look for patrols, all right?
Tourists.
You call them tours, I call them patrols, whatever.
Right.
Okay, go to the tours. You can take any time you'd like a tour, a patrol with Harry. Pictures, a photo tour. You can take the journey with him. They're all labeled. They're absolutely fascinating. You get to walk into the remains of the German Reich in World War II. You get to go to Austria. You get to go to Argentina and see locations where so many Germans were taken or got to actually escape to after the war. It's a huge story. We're going to look at some pictures tonight that are especially fascinating. As Harry's book, Hitler in Argentina, points out, Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun went to Argentina. Where did they live in Argentina? You're going to see the house. You're going to see the grounds. You're going to see the property. And we're going to get to go do that in just a few minutes with a lot of pictures. So under Harry's name, go ahead and load up the first group of photos, Hitler's estate, and we'll take a walk through that. This piece of property is now in jeopardy. It has apparently been unoccupied since Hitler and Eva Braun left it in about 1955. Right. And the furniture is still there. It has been for sale for prices up to $40 million. No takers. And what is the status of it, Harry?
Well, there's been a sale to a soybean farmer from the province of Cordoba for 23 million euros, which is roughly 25, 26 million Yankee dollars. But the government, I just been keeping in contact with my people down there. I just got info today that the sale has been stopped, not canceled, but halted by the government due to some kind of irregularity. That's as much as we know, but...
Not political, something else.
I don't think it's political. I don't think it's political. I think it's something else, because down there, they really don't care.
Right. Well, so much of their history is tied into this, so, yeah.
Oh, sure. And the German Reich, the Wehrmacht, built the Argentine military. They also built the Chilean army. Even today, when the Army of Chile is on parade, you'd swear it was Munich in 1936. And they've got the same uniforms. They've got... it just looks the same.
Uh-huh.
So I think... I don't think it's a political situation. Now, the house that we're going to look at, the estate house, that's not the whole works, because there's a huge chunk of property that goes with this, and I'm told there are the remains of some, or maybe they're in good shape, some of the other buildings behind the tree line. I never got behind the tree line because it never dawned on me to look behind the tree line. But allegedly there's some other buildings back there, so it's probably a good purchase at that price, and it's up the finger of Lake Nahuelhuapi, which is a beautiful, beautiful lake, huge lake, right at the foothills of the Andes, and the town San Carlos de Bariloche, so back in the late 50s, became a tourist attraction because there's great fishing on the lake. In the summer, and in the wintertime, there's skiing in the mountains. And we've seen pictures of two very interesting fellows skiing. One is Hans Ulrich Rudel, probably the greatest pilot of all time, and he only had one leg, so he's skiing on a prosthesis. And the other one is Otto Scorzini.
Wow.
In the Andes, down by Bariloche.
Scorzini was probably the greatest commando, special ops, special forces guy in the war. Amazing.
He was a tough guy.
Yeah.
There was a book about him called Hitler's Commando.
Uh-huh.
He was a tough guy.
Now, what you said is very interesting to me, is that the purchaser of the house is from Cordoba.
Right. It's up in the northern part of Argentina.
Yeah, but the link there is, I wonder about the link. Is that just coincidence? Because when Hitler and Braun left this beautiful house, when tourism began to take root and too many people came down there, this is extremely in the south of Argentina, they went north. And where did they
go
allegedly? To Cordoba.
In Cordoba. Well, they did go to Cordoba. We got pictures of them having a meal or coffee or whatever with the Eichhorn family, which are the people that owned the Hotel Eden, where they stayed in 1947, 2 years after the war ended. So, hey, I never made the connection. It might be. And I know there's a lot of Germans still living up there. As a matter of fact, as you know, last time I went down there, which was this past February, I spent a whole month down there, and by sheer chance, God smiles on idiots like me and points us in the right direction sometimes, I met the grandson of Raymond R. Horton, the guy who he and his brother developed the Horton Flying Wing Bomber, the, what is it, the HO-229.
HO-229, the greatest aeronautical geniuses probably of the last century, given the time they worked in and the amount of things that they pioneered. Astounding things.
Up in Cordova Province is the son of Reimer Horton, lives up there. I doubt there's any connection, but no, I'm sure there's no connection between him and the sale here. But as you say, there's a whole lot of Germans living up there in Cordova.
Well, they could have pulled their money and bought this. Hopefully maybe, they did.
Maybe so. Interesting. But they were going to, the plan was they were going to build a high buck upscale tourist hotel, because it's in a beautiful area, like I say, right up at the end of a finger of the lake on Mount Hiawatha. If your listeners go to my website and go to tours, previous tours, go to any of the Argentine ones, you'll see where this home sits on that lake. And it's a magnificent piece of property. And if I had been born rich instead of good-looking, I'd have bought the place.
Well, next time around, put both of them together and you'll be president.
I'm not sure I'd want to be president.
I didn't say anything about brains, Harry. I said rich and good-looking. And
I'd rather be the dictator. That way you don't have to argue with people. Just do what's right for the country and get it moving.
God, that's not the truth. All right, now, Cordoba probably has a very wealthy bedrock of Germans there. I would suggest that, well, whatever. I hope that this is a German purchase and they'll preserve this place. It's got to be. This is.
I'll have to ask my contact down there for the name.
I'll bet you it's German. We'll see.
We'll see.
Now, this property that Hitler and Eva Braun lived in for about 10 years, we're going to tell you the story in a minute. We're going to take you into the house. So don't scroll through the pictures yet. Just wait and we'll all walk through together. But this is a truly monumental estate in terms of history and what happened. Now, you said a couple minutes ago, you have a picture of Hitler and Eva Braun dining with the Eichhorns in 1947. I have not seen this picture. I have not seen this picture, have I?
That's because we haven't released them yet. There's three pictures.
And these are absolutely guaranteed 1947.
Yeah.
Wow. And this is what Harry does. He's rolling back history. If this photograph, and I'm sure it is legitimate and can be clearly identified as being 1947, that immediately changes history forever. Harry's book already did it, but when you have photographic evidence, you know how people are with pictures. That does it for most people. That completely overturns one of the biggest lies of our lifetimes. Biggest lies of the last century.
Yeah, we got a call today from one of our members who just bought O'Reilly's book, The Death of the Killing the Rising Sun, or something like that. And he lists the chapter, page, and paragraph where it says, on 8th of May, Germany surrendered because Adolf Hitler was dead. Yes, and the fat guy in a red suit's going to come down your chimney pretty soon. Hitler was not dead in 1945. He was long gone. He was, as you see in my book, you got the book, Hitler was ready to die. He was pretty much a broken man. But Martin Bormann was the power behind the throne. And he wanted to keep the Reich alive. He was heading for South America, and he needed a figurehead to keep the Reich alive. And so one of our members, who's now passed away, was working in the Führer bunker. He was a spy, a Spaniard by the name of Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco. He saw Hitler and Eva Braun forcibly drugged under orders of Martin Bormann and removed from the Führer bunker. The guy you see in that famous picture patting the cheeks of the young boys who were trying to defend Berlin, right, that was his double, whose name escapes me right now, but one of our agents over in Germany tracked down the double and turned out it was a cousin of Hitler who grew up in the same area of Austria and had the same Austrian dialect, and the SS just trained him to act like Hitler. Then, unfortunately for him, he right. might be the one that took the bullet. So anyhow, once they got down to Argentina, Bormann found he didn't really need Hitler as a figurehead. He went off, instead of the militaristic Reich, he started forming businesses down there. So he didn't need Hitler. He just tucked him and Eva Braun off here. And there was tremendous security all around the place. There was armed German security on land and on water. And if your listeners go to the website, especially 2008 Argentina, you'll see if you go to Hitler's, you could only get there by water at the time. I understand in the last year or two or three they put through a road back there. But if you came from one direction, you passed the famous Saracen Tower, which is a Saracen-looking tower built about the same time as this estate, which was built in the closing moments of the war by money from Mercedes. You had to pass that tower where they had maybe a couple of platoons of soldiers there whose only job was to report back to the headquarters if they saw a boat going by. If you came from the other direction, there was a small bunker, not a combat bunker, just a Stützpunkt, a place for troops to billet, and maybe they had a few platoons there, and their job was the same thing, to report if boats were coming from the other direction. Then in 55, as we said, it got very busy with tourists, and also Juan Perón was falling out of power. He was the one who gave them protection. Nobody could be taken out of there without Perón looking the other way, as Adolf Eichmann, for instance. He was not a wealthy German. He was just a poor lieutenant commander, or colonel, I'm sorry, lieutenant colonel, Oberstleutnant, who didn't have a fortune. He managed to escape. He and his two sons built a house. We have pictures of it on the website. It's about 20 foot by 20 foot.
Yeah.
That's the house.
Yeah.
And he was working at the Mercedes plant, which is 3 hours out of town by bus, and so he had no protection. Hitler, Bormann, all the rest of them, they literally would have had to mount a military operation to get these guys, because the Argentine army would have defended them. Also, as we put out in the book, this is a theory, not fact, but I list the reasons in the book. Right after Germany surrendered and Hitler escaped, our atomic scientists got very smart. We got all sorts of uranium. We got all sorts of technology. Our scientists got really smart, really quick. And we are quite certain that there was a quid pro quo. You leave Hitler and those guys alone, we'll give you all this stuff. Otherwise, we're going to give it to the Russians.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So if your listeners want to go to the website or send us an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net, tell us they heard us on the show. We'll send them a free copy of the magazine, the current issue. Free.
Wow.
Strings attached.
Very nice. Very nice. Class. All right. Let us go look at the house together, all of us, and wherever you are, again, around the world, this house is very much as you see it. These pictures were taken by Harry, who went out there on a boat on one of his tours, his patrols. And again, go to sharkhunters.com. You can take a trip, a tour, anytime you'd like. And they're just wonderful photographic journeys, each one of them. Very special. Okay, let's go look at this house. What a just a beautiful home. Built, for those of you who can't see right now, it's a Bavarian style. I'd call it a chalet. It's a big one.
Yeah, two stories high. In the main house, then on the wings, or what? The wings.
Yeah.
They're one story.
Pretty, that's about a 6-12 roof pitch, too. I wonder if they get much snow there in the winter down that low.
They get a lot of snow down there. I've never been there in the wintertime, which is June, July, August. But one of my guys down there said, when you're flying in at that time to the little airport at Bariloche, he says, everything is white. You can't tell where the sky ends and the ground begins because everything is heavily covered with snow. And we cover that in the book, Hitler in Argentina, as well, when Don Angel went down to meet with Hitler in 1952.
Wow, and he did.
Which has been confirmed by another one of our members, now since dead, but he was high-level NSA.
Ah, all right. Okay, there's the front of the house, and your next picture, as you scroll down, you can see the back of the house. And Harry was taken out to the house with his group in a boat, a power boat, and the fellows skippering the boat got off the boat, and he was laughing. Tell us the story.
Yeah, that was the next year. These pictures I took when I went there by myself in 2008. I came back the next year, 2009, with about 10 people. And unlike the clown on Hunting Hitler, who thought he had to sneak up like some kind of a frogman, the place is deserted. There ain't nobody living there. So, oh, God, I said, they ain't nobody living there. You can tell I've been in the South too
long. That's German, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
So, anyhow, we just pulled up. We had two small cabin cruisers, about 23-footers. Just pulled up on the beach, got off, and started walking across the lawn you saw in the first picture there. It's about 75, 80 feet from the water. And all of a sudden, this guy, one of the boat skippers, who was about 60 or so years old, just guessing, he comes stomping on by us, goose-stepping with his right arm in the air, and his left little finger under his nose, like a little mustache, and caught me by surprise. I said, "What in the hell are you doing?" And he says, "I know who lived here." And he had his right arm in the air. Again, I says, "Yeah, how do you know that?" He said, "I grew up here. My father was the caretaker, and I know who lived here." And away he went back to his boat, goose-stepping with his right arm in the air. And we have since found out who he is. He's the son of, I'm not going to say who, but a very high-ranking SS officer who was the caretaker of the estate during the 10 years when Hitler and Eva Braun lived there.
Huh.
So I'm going to be looking at this place again in about six more months, January or February. I'm already making plans to get down there. My my Buenos Aires contact, Martin, he's already getting prepped. He's got the boats. Well, he's got the tentative arrangements for the boats. So, if
well, you know what my next statement's going to be, so I won't even say it.
Nail that guy down and make him talk.
That's right. Get him on camera, or get the back of his head on camera. But we want that story memorialized.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't speak English. I don't speak Spanish, but Martin is a good translator. Maybe we can get along in German. My German is not very good, but
well, you have enough libation, and you'll all speak the same language.
Yeah,
you know,
in Germany they say mit Hand und Fuß wir verstanden. In other words, with hands and feet, we'll understand.
There you go. All right. Well, scroll down and look at these pictures. Here's the back of the house, a close up of the rear of the house, and then a beautiful shot from behind the house looking toward the view, which is of this gorgeous lake. And you can see how it's up a finger of the lake.
Yep.
And very easily on the left-hand side, as you look at that finger of land, there would have been troops down at the end. On the right-hand side, another group. They protected this, obviously, with extreme security for these years.
It was heavily protected back in those days, yes.
Yeah. Hitler and Eva Braun. Go ahead, Harry. Sorry.
Well, there was a guy who came there, excuse me, many years before, Otto Mehling, and he was a tough guy. We got pictures of him hanging on the side of a mountain, carrying boards and stuff up to a level spot on Cerro Otto, which means Otto's Mountain. It was named for a different Otto. He built his own home up there. It's a shack is what it is, but he was a fantastic skier. And he organized the observation posts on peaks all around the lake so that if anything moved, they knew it.
Wow.
He founded the Club Andino, which is still going in Bariloche. It's a ski club now, but it had been a pretty much of a quiet headquarters for the spies.
Wow.
So it was not just run away and like Mussolini was going nowhere with no plan. This was well organized. Our follow-on book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, explains how all this was set up before anybody ever knew who was Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. So, well, and yeah. You wonder the 10 years there, how this broken man who had it all in his hands at one point, and it got away from him, how he dealt with that emotionally, psychologically, and then the rumors, of course, of one or two children, perhaps, not living there, living elsewhere.
Yeah.
And they had a life. One wonders if, I would have to think he probably did, return to painting in those later years. And one wonders if there are some paintings done by Hitler down there. There probably are.
Wow, that would be something to find.
Yeah, probably not signed, but signed under an alias.
He was supposed to keep a very low profile, which is why you're not seeing pictures of him all over the place. You know, the people who stomp their foot and demand that you show proof, they want to see pictures of Hitler holding up the New York Times
or
whatever date and all that. And it just doesn't happen that way. But
no.
I've talked to enough people down there. Including the there was an SS officer, Erich Priebke. He was a member of Shark Hunters, and he was under house arrest in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
He had been the head of the German community down here. He arranged the German cultural center. He set up the German school, and he knew everything. And we wrote back and forth, and I had dinner with his son in 2009, I think it was, down there, and he filled in a lot more blanks. And there's even cafes down in Buenos Aires. The ABC Cafe was a favorite hangout for Mengele and Bormann. It hasn't changed since the 40s.
Nice place.
I was in there with Martine 2014 when I was down there. It was kind of empty, and there were two beautiful Scottish girls at a table about 3-4 tables away, and didn't know. I thought they were Argentines, Porteñas. They came over with 3/4 of a bottle of wine that they bought for lunch and didn't finish, and they said, "Hi, we hear you speaking English. We don't want the wine to go to waste," so they gave us their bottle of wine, and away they went.
Huh. Okay.
There's stuff. We eat at the German club down there. Of course, nobody speaks German in the German club, but...
Not out loud, anyway. This picture of Harry at, I guess, one of the entrances there.
Yeah, I'm about to let myself in.
Is that your lock-picking stuff? Oh, that's your glasses. You didn't need a lock-pick. You're just going in.
No, the doors are locked.
You did pick it.
So I've been told, Well, I learned a trade when I spent about 6 months working for the mafia in Chicago, so I learned a trade.
Well, at least you didn't have to learn it in prison, so that's good.
For darn sure.
Yeah. Well, there he is.
6 months and I got out.
Yeah. Yeah, you one of the few to get out of the mafia. You don't get out. All right, let's go into the house with Harry. Inside. There are some plants here alive.
Yep.
So someone's caretaking the place.
Correct.
Probably not the original furniture, but who can be sure? That looks like a 50s divan.
Yeah.
We just don't know for sure. Now, keep scrolling down.
I was alive in the 50s. That looks like a 50s.
Yeah. There's a reverse shot of that looking out the view windows. Absolutely gorgeous. And go down to the next one. You'll see an enormous 6-inch thick table.
You want that table, don't you?
God, I'll tell you, I would love to have that. If that table could talk, that table probably is the same one that was there. And the people who sat around that table for 10 years talking.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised that was original, but I don't think you have enough money to pay the freight to get that thing up here. I'll bet you it weighs 2,000 pounds at least. That's solid wood.
I'll find a way.
Okay. If we can find a way to buy the place.
Well, just buy the table. Although I'm sure that they wouldn't want to sell the table if it's being purchased, probably by a German, to preserve it, which is all wonderful. So
It weighs every bit of 2,000 pounds.
Well, that's just shipping an automobile, Harry. It's just no big deal. They ship cars all over the place. Ship it like a car.
Roll. This thing doesn't look like it'll roll. But anyhow, you come up with the buckos, they'll get you the table. Everything's got a price.
I'll do it. I will do it. If it is to leave that house, I will make damn sure it happens and it'll be taken care of. You know, Laurel and Hardy, did I tell you this?
No.
I have Stan Laurel's desk.
No kidding.
And his chair that he worked on all in the 30s and 40s. The greatest comedy in motion picture history was written on this desk by Stan Laurel. I even have a picture of him at that table, that desk, and the chair with Ollie. They're both working on a script.
I'll be darned. Yeah, I used to watch those when I was a kid, and they're back on late-night TV again, too, with all these retro channels.
Well, they're nobody funnier than Laurel and Hardy, and their UCLA has just about finished, I guess, should be by now, restoring digitally, as in brand new in appearance on the screen, everything they did. Shorts, all of their feature films, everything. So looking forward to that.
They went through a period in their filming where they did the old operas with Laurel and Hardy. They did La Boheme, which they called The Little Bohemian Girl, and then they did my favorite, March of the
Wooden
Soldiers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, it was a very wonderful time, the 30s. Okay, hold on. We have to pause here. We'll come right back. Looking at the staircase now and the pictures of the house, we have a whole bunch of other pictures to go through in the next hour, so do stay with us and enjoy. We'll be right back.